I wanted them to understand how to be treated, how someone should honor them.
Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, the podcast designed to champion parents to raise spiritual leaders.
Well, hi, everyone. It's Rodney Michelle Gage with the Winning Family Podcast. We're so honored that you have chosen to join with us, whether you're watching this on YouTube or maybe you're listening to it, maybe driving down the road. Hey, we are coming alongside you to encourage you, and we just want to ask you to encourage us. And one of the best ways that you could do that is by rating and reviewing, sharing this with friends and other parents that you know that could be encouraged as well. We all need that kind of encouragement and reinforcement, and that's why we do the Winning Family Podcast. We've been in a series of podcasts over the last couple of weeks that we're basically dealing with six specific ways that we can raise strong, spiritual, resilient kids. In other words, being spiritual leaders that God has called them to be. And in our first episode, we talked about the importance of being spiritual trendsetters as parents. It's so important that we learn to set the tone spiritually. It begins with us. Our last episode, we talked about the importance of being an identity detective. That simply means that we've got to be on guard and do all that we can to make sure that our kids are building their lives on a solid, strong, secure foundation in terms of who they are in Christ and making sure they're secure in their identities of who God has created them to be. And then, of course, today in this episode, we're talking about something that I think is very, very important that builds on everything we're talking about, and that is being an emotional trailblazer. You think, man, what in the world is that, being an emotional trailblazer? Well, obviously, just like all of us, especially our kids, we all have emotional needs. And I think sometimes we maybe don't quite realize just how powerful those emotional needs are. As a matter of fact, they can drive us to do a lot of different things. A lot of our behavior that's manifested on the outside often is a reflection of what's going on the inside. And it might just be that there is some needs that are not being met. Maybe there's some areas for attention or lack thereof, or a need for encouragement, and maybe the need for affection that maybe we're just not receiving. And so if we're not getting it at home, well, chances are we're going to seek other alternatives. We're going to look to other people to get those needs met. And usually it's not in healthy, productive ways. It's usually in unhealthy, unproductive ways. And so in this episode, we're going to have a conversation about the importance of meeting the emotional needs of our kids. And I'll start by just sharing a story that I actually share in the book that we have called Why Your Kids Do What They Do. And if you want more information about what the emotional needs are, we talk about the five key emotional needs, or we call them emotional gauges, that young people have. And I kind of use this illustration to kind of serve as a visual because, you know, back in the day, of course, when I was growing up, we had a sports car. In fact, some of you who are maybe considered to be millennials, or if you especially are a Gen Z parent, listen to this. Well, you probably have no clue as to what I'm referring to, especially when I make reference to the word Datsun 280ZX.
What year was that?
That would have been, let's say, in the 80s.
Decade
of all time.
You know, anyway, what I drove.
But yeah, you drove a Camaro, right?
Camaro.
Canary yellow.
It was not 80s.
Super obnoxious.
It was what, 60s?
No, it was 70s.
70s.
Yeah. And it was like a tank.
My dad took good care of me. He got me that yellow Camaro.
But back in the day when we had this, my dad drove this Datsun 280ZX. I'll never forget it. You can Google it.
Yeah, so, you were hot stuff.
Oh, man, it was awesome. The reason why it was so awesome, because the car would literally talk to you. And so imagine technology back then compared to today is a little different, you know, than a Tesla. But back then, that was big stuff. So, you know, here this car had all these gadgets and this little lady's voice. You know, if you're driving down the road, you're running low on gas, she'd say, fuel level is low. Fuel level is low.
That was the latest, greatest thing.
Yeah, and if you left your car door open, she'd say, car car door is open. Car door is open. She keeps saying it until she got your attention, you know, to respond. And it's kind of the same way our kids have emotional dashboards. And they may not articulate it like mom and dad, affection level is low. No, they may not say it that way.
Right.
But what they're doing is they are responding by their outward actions and behavior, or maybe even attitudes, that there are some emotional needs that are not being met. And so we have to know why that is important as parents, because obviously it's true of our own lives as parents. So if we're running on empty,
right,
and we feel depleted emotionally, you know, because of the maybe just the work demands, the stress, the burdens of life, the challenges, the setbacks, the things that are coming against us, you know, we can feel drained. So again, it's hard to give what you don't have.
Right. And when you talk about being an emotional trailblazer, the trailblazer is the first one out there, right?
Right.
The first one. You're ahead forging of the game. Way. Forging the way. So as a parent, we have to be the one that's ahead of the game. And what you're talking about, like when understanding what it is to feel that when our emotional tank is low, when our needs are unmet, the way we respond, well, now we know that with our children, maybe it's out of anger or frustration. They may be disobeying in certain areas and acting out. It may not just be out of that they just want to act out, but
right.
maybe they're trying to wave the flag and say, hey, I need some attention here.
Absolutely.
But as the trailblazer, we should be the first to know and recognize that, because there will be others out in the world that will be watching for that and will try to meet a need in a way that we won't want met in our kids' life.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, and
it's
I
one
think
of the greatest things we can do.
Absolutely. I think one of the other words maybe to use when it comes to the whole trailblazer of just kind of getting out front and forging the way, it's really just being proactive.
Yes.
It's being intentional rather than reactive.
Yeah.
So usually if you are always reacting, then chances are you're already behind the curve. You're behind the eight ball. So we want to stay ahead. And how do we
keep
do that?
Head on.
Yeah.
Straight. Know what's going on, because you're in the middle of a kid acting out.
Yeah, you lose your mind.
You lose your mind. Absolutely.
So how do we do that? Well, yeah. I think first and foremost, we got to understand, and then there's so many incredible resources out there. You know, through the years, we have been blessed and encouraged just through what we learned through Dr. Gary Chapman's classic book called The Five Love Languages. I think it's really a great tool and resource for parents to know and just see how that plays out in our own individual lives,
right.
what our love language is. But knowing that love language when it comes to our children. And then in the book called Why Your Kids Do What They Do, I outline five specific emotional gauges. Every kid has a need to be noticed. Every kid has a need to receive encouragement. Every kid has a need to receive empathy. Every kid has a need to receive direction. And every kid has a need for security.
Right.
And so the question is what can we do in our home as parents to create the safest, most secure atmosphere that we possibly can?
Yeah. Healthy.
So that, so that our kids are emotionally healthy and secure. And so whether that's just giving them the time and the attention they need, you know, paying attention to the things that are important to them, that matter to them.
Right.
Not just that's important or that matters to us.
Right.
You know, but paying attention to those things.
Yeah.
You know, noticing them, complimenting them, you know, speaking life into them.
Right.
You know, if they come home and they're distressed and all, you know, whatever bad thing that happened, you know, that day, you know, that's where that need of empathy, you know, comes in. You know, the Bible says to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. And sometimes, you know, rather than us having a 3-point lecture ready to, you know, to tell our kids, you know, or dismiss what they're feeling by saying, oh, just get over it. It's coming alongside and hurting the way they hurt, feel the way they feel. It's entering into their world,
Right.
So that they understand that what they care about is important to us.
Yeah, that we're not too busy. That they understand that we are not too busy to see and notice what they're going through in their life, because it can be so easy in our world to allow the schedule that we have, the pace that we keep, that sometimes we're exhausted when it comes to our parenting side of things.
Absolutely.
And we need to really take a close look at that so that we're able to be present, available, encouraging, empathizing with our children, and not just be all about ourselves, so that we're exhausted, you know,
right,
at that point.
So right.
It's truly so, so important. I remember, you know, we talk about how important it is to have a mentor, somebody that you're looking to, and prayerfully we can be that for you here on this podcast. If you weren't raised in a home where this example was set for you, I think back about the greatest mentor in my life has been my dad. And, he did not have a father that really mentored him. His dad was affected by the war, and actually when he came back was never really the same, and died when my father was a teenager. So he didn't really have a father figure to show him how to raise children. So when he had three kids, mom and dad had a total of four girls. I'm the oldest of four girls. I think there were three of us at the time. He went to another pastor friend and asked that pastor friend if he could mentor him. And he'd spent some time with him asking him about how to be a good father. And I think he asked him the question, what is the greatest thing that I can do as a father for my girls? And I think in his mind, he was thinking that the pastor would say, oh, you've got to pray with your daughters. But what his name was Pastor Pollock. What he actually said was, Rod, you got to get down on the floor and play with your daughters.
Yeah.
And spend time with them.
So good.
Just be with your girls.
Yeah.
That's what they need more than anything. And I'm so thankful that my dad listened to that. Not only did he pray with us, absolutely, he was my spiritual mentor, but he played with us. And he, as we got older, we used to have so much fun together, just hanging out together as a family. And I knew that I was noticed. I knew that my needs were being met because my dad took time to invest in me and my sisters.
That's so good. And I think it's important, you know, as our kids, regardless of what age or stage, you know, of children you have, you may have toddlers, newborns, toddlers at home.
Yeah.
You know, you may have preteen or teenager, but you know, I think that's where we have to just understand that just being with our children,
mm-hmm.
our presence is mm-hmm. important,
right?
You know, and not just our presence, but when we're there, we're all there.
Mm.
You know, to get rid of the the phones.
Yes,
you know, it's crazy, unbelievable how they can be such a massive distraction.
They are.
And it takes away from conversation, takes away from eye contact, takes away from just entering into each other's world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember, you know, with our kids, I would individually take them out just to have one-on-one time with them, did something that they enjoyed. It didn't have to be extravagant or expensive or anything like that. If it's just going out to the park, if it's just going out and getting the ice cream,
exactly.
You know, I remember when our girls started getting into the teen years, you know, of I wanted to take them out. I wanted to be the first date.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to be that male figure in their life that helped model for them and to show them what was expected.
Yes.
And I just, you know, I wanted them to understand how to be treated, how someone should honor them, how someone should, you know, just the little things that would help them feel valued in who they are and respected for who they are.
Yes.
And so all these little things, again, these are putting emotional deposits mm-hmm. into the emotional bank account of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because every day they're getting withdrawals. Every day. It's like a styrofoam cup.
Is it?
Well, if you take that styrofoam cup and you just start poking holes in it, and if it's filled with water, what happens? Well, water is going to start leaking.
Right.
Well, every day, our world, our culture, social media, video games, you know, all the stuff our kids are exposed to, negative friends are poking holes
mm-hmm.
in those emotional bank accounts. Right. And so we just have to realize that all of this is crucial when it comes to building that sense of security and that emotional foundation in the lives of our kids.
That's right. That's right. So important. It's such a treasure to be able to do it. And you are making deposits in their life that truly will stay with them throughout their lifetime. So we get to choose how we're going to do that, if we're going to meet the needs of our kids. And it's more than a physical thing. No amount of money can buy for us to meet their emotional needs in their life.
Yeah. If you look at the number of, you know, kids today who sadly and unfortunately may not even have biological fathers around.
Mm-hmm.
You look at both young men and young women
mm-hmm.
who had that absent father type of situation growing up.
Yeah.
There is a missing piece in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, and I've been in prisons. I've talked to countless juvenile detention centers and mm-hmm. delinquent centers, and listen to kids who have strayed and have gone through so many difficult challenges in their life, who made, unfortunately, wrong, bad decisions mm-hmm. that where they had to reap the consequences. Most of them, almost 100% of the time, didn't have a father growing up.
Right.
And as a result, there is a void in their life. There's a father hunger.
Right.
So that's where we even have to realize, if you're watching and listening, as maybe you're a single mom, and you're in a situation where you don't have a strong male example, mentor speaking into the lives of your children, let me encourage you to try to find a mentor, try to find a youth pastor, somebody that can help be that male reinforcement, that voice that's speaking into their lives. But at the end of the day, we also need to help reinforce the fact that we have a heavenly father
yes.
who the Bible says sticks closer than a brother, and he is a father to the fatherless. And so he is the one who ultimately can satisfy. He's the one who can meet our needs, and he's the one who ultimately can be there when nobody else is there for us. And so reinforcing and communicating these opportunities to our kids only helps reinforce the fact that when they feel loved, they feel valued, they feel secure, all that does is it helps reinforce their identity of who they are, and it reinforces those emotional needs in their lives that are crucial to be met in healthy, productive, God-honoring ways.
That's right.
So, well, we trust this podcast has been helpful, and let us encourage you to once again go back and listen to some of the previous episodes if you happen to have missed those, and check out other podcasts that we have on The Winning Family. We have all kinds of subjects and topics that we have discovered that have been very, very transformational when it comes to a lot of parents who have been walking through and facing various challenges, and a lot of them have asked, where do we go to for this, or who can we talk to for that? We've addressed a lot of topics that we pray will be a great source of help and encouragement to you. Well, until next time here at the Winning Family Podcast, we would encourage you once again to rate, review, share this with your friends. And let me encourage you to go to thewinningfamily.com and download our free 7-day family challenge. If you want to do something that will instantly shift the atmosphere of your home, I encourage you, download that. It's free, and it literally gives you 7 days of action steps that you can take to build healthier, stronger, and ultimately just close-knit relationships with one another as a family. Well, until next time, we encourage you to, again, share this with your friends. And until the next episode, we look forward to seeing you back here on The Winning Family.